What is happening? How are we? Welcome back to another episode of The Inside Trail. Today's guest, his name is Benjamin Cook. Wait until you hear this. So Benjamin is he's walking from Cairo to Cape Town, which is, you know, it's the length of Africa essentially, to raise awareness for climate change. Now, you'll hear all about the plan and how it came about within the episode, but you know, he also cycled from London to Tokyo last year, which I think is astonishing. So he's obviously got these big ideas in mind. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Ben do this. It's going to take him, you know, between a year and a half to 2.5 years. He says the time isn't a massive thing for him, so he's just going to do it. So really excited for you to hear from Ben. But just a quick word. So the video that you've seen at the start is him barbershop. The lads and him have been good enough to do a giveaway for me. So if you haven't already, go to the Instagram at the Inside Trail Pod, enter the giveaway. You get a free barnet and a gift set. You know, like, I've been getting my haircut there for like 5 years, so they're in my mind, they're the top of the top. So do enter that, you know, it's only a comment and a whatever. So do that. As you saw, the talented Kev Hughes did a video for me there as well. If you have any interest in having a video done for whether a business or, you know, any kind of small idea, Kev Hughes, absolute animal when it comes to this. So thank you, Kev. Another thing, the Inside Trail website is live. So if you do want to go on and look at any old podcasts, there's a couple of written spews on there as well. But on the website as well, I do have Real Men Talk, which is this thing I started just trying to get men from all different walks of life to, you know, write a piece about the time that they struggled, or, you know, just to kind of share that, to kind of break down the stigma that, you know, men aren't meant to, you know, struggle with these things. So if you do want to get involved in that, and the email is theinsidetrail@gmail.com. And yeah, if you want to go on and read some of the, I think there's 8 or 9 up there already, so if you go on, read that, maybe it'll, you know, you'll get the idea of what I'm looking for. The next thing, the float tank. I've been doing float tanks, you know, sensory deprivation tanks for a couple of months now, and I really, really enjoy them. They're a great place for me to just go and, you know, switch off from the world. You know, your senses are just turned off completely, and you get to really kind of have that introspective thought about, you know, your life and things you do. And yeah, you know, I find it really, really useful. So if you do want to try it, the lads in Float Malahide have given me a discount for you to try. It's Inside Trail 15. Get 15% off your float tank. Yeah, like, even just try it once, I think it's something that everyone should try once. And you know, if you're anyway like me, you'd be addicted to it. So you know, I'm even like, right, okay, next week. So it's a space for me to think, and a space for me to just, you know, troll, yeah, work through everything anyway. But yeah, so they are the little spews. If you do want to keep up with Ben and his travels when he goes, it is adventurecookie.co.uk. And I'll leave all his tags and everything down below. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast, and yeah, the usual. Bam, bam, bam.
is the Inside Trail.
Cheers. Now, Ben, it's fantastic to have you here. I know it's a makeshift little studio here in the hotel, but look, it worked perfectly for us. So I try to think, how do I even start this? So I suppose the first one I'd like to start with is what you're currently planning to do.
Yes.
So do you want to start? Like, what are you going
to
do?
Sure. So basically, I'm due to walk the length of Africa, starting from Cairo to Cape Town. It's a 12,000 kilometer walk, and I'll pass through at least 10 East African countries, following the way down to the south, basically. So I'm doing it in light of the current climate crisis, trying to raise awareness for that, and then some money for a reforestation charity called One Tree Planted.
And how did the idea to do this come up? Like, what?
So I was on a cycling expedition, and it was towards the end of that. I basically collected lots of different adventure ideas, and towards the end of it, I just had this moment of madness where I chose the most terrifying one on the list, whilst I've got the time and the energy in order to do it. So that's why the walk sort of came around. I was actually walking at the point, so I'd just come off the bike in Japan, ditched that, and I was walking across on a pilgrimage route called the Komami Kodo Trail. And it was towards the back end of that I decided, actually, I quite enjoy walking.
Yeah.
And I find it quite a happy sort of activity.
Yeah.
So why not?
And how many, have you worked out the kind of breakdown of how many hours a day you'll have to walk, or is it just kind of like, I'll just walk until I have to stop?
Yeah. So it entirely depends on the terrain and where I am. So I could go in there with a huge idea as to how much distance I want to cover per day. You know, I've got all this expectation, but this could be broken completely by the officials, the police stopping you, or, like I said, the terrain, depending on that. But ideally, I'd like to be covering anywhere, up to 40 kilometres a day, maybe pushing the boat out a bit. I mean, initially, I'm going to be in Egypt and Sudan, so despite the heat, there's not going to be a great deal sort of keep you occupied,
keep
your brain ticking over in the desert. So it's going to be miles, not smiles there.
Yeah,
so
that would be, have you, I assume there's no earphones or...
I'd take headphones.
I think headphones would be a good shout out.
Yeah, but you need to sort of keep them as like a bit of a treat.
Yeah,
you can't overuse it. On the bike trip, for instance, I'd have some silence in the morning, and then at a certain point I'd start listening to an audiobook. So, you know, Harry Potter's, went through those. So I'd sort of like keep that to look forward to. It can get worse, but I've always got this in the back just in case.
Yeah. And is it like, it's just you walking alone? And we have a someone to rendezvous with each?
I've not sort of set that in stone as such. I've been in contact with various different people in these countries, which I'll link up with. I was recently in South Africa volunteering for a charity, but there I sort of met some really cool people who live in various parts of Africa who have offered their help, basically. So, you know, I've not got a support vehicle as such. The tag of the expedition is the fact that I'm doing this solo and unsupported, so on my own and without any support teams or vehicles or whatever, sort of on the ground. So
and then in terms of safety wise, how does that, ain't a little bit scared about the...
I mean, I am, but a lot of the fears that we sort of all have are quite irrational, and they're all illusionary. So I am scared, and you know, I won't lie there, like I'm sort of on that line between like terrified and super excited. But I suppose specifically about the danger threat, you know, obviously I'm going to be passing through some places which are quite politically unstable and have been more unstable in the past, but they are pretty isolated pockets. So in Sudan, for instance, it's very much in the west of that country. In Egypt, it's very much to the east. And I'll be steering well clear from those parts. And it's just trying to do it with as much calculated risk as possible, as opposed to just throwing in and walking willy-nilly. You know, it's good to get a feel for it. And that sort of enables you to go into it less scared, less anxious, more excited, and just slightly more organised, I guess.
So sorry, it's Egypt, Sudan, and what other countries?
But yeah, and then
my African geography.
Yeah, and so mine's only good for planning.
Yeah.
And then into Ethiopia, and then into Kenya.
Okay.
And then once again to Nairobi, I've got a decision point to make whether I hit the coast.
Okay.
And then like Mombasa, and then follow Mozambique down towards South Africa, or whether I go inland more and sort of go, you know, slightly more as the crow flies. Mm. So then from Kenya, I'll go into Tanzania. And then Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and then into South Africa from there.
And then, food and that kind of stuff? How, like, 2 years is a long time to plan for.
Yeah.
Like, are you just going to arrive at your destination and look for food, or what way will you?
I mean, I'll always carry a sort of emergency set. Well, I say set of food, but like an emergency pack, basically. Yeah. So whether that's like some oats or some rice, something that's high calorie that I can cook up just in case I can't find anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, 96% of Egypt's population live around the Nile. So that means if there's people, there's food.
Yeah.
If there's, you know, people, there's water, all that sort of good stuff. So the first two countries, both Egypt and Sudan, apart from a small stretch in Sudan, which I'll have to navigate through, I will be just eating what the locals eat, basically.
Mm.
So, you know, you're right in saying that 2 years is a long time to plan for.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily plan for that long because there's so much uncertainty.
Yeah.
So, like I say, I'll just keep it emergency, but eat what I can and eat what I can find, basically, which is good fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. I assume you'll probably have to get injections and stuff like that to get your body ready for all this.
Pretty much all there.
Yeah,
I've just got my final rabies jab this week, and then that's pretty much all set in stone, so...
Yeah. And have you looked at, like, are there parts that you're like most looking forward to going to, or?
Yes, so Sudan, I've heard incredible things about the Sudanese hospitality, which I'm really excited to experience. So there, and then Ethiopia, you've got the Simien Mountains, which are in the north of the country, which are this incredible mountain range, which has very unique and diverse wildlife there. Mm. So that'll be really interesting to experience.
I see some crocodiles and some elephants and
all that. Yeah, there'll be all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I'm very excited for there. And then, I mean, the plains in Tanzania. Some really, really beautiful places that I'm going to be walking through. So exciting stuff.
And so the whole idea of kind of it's raising awareness for climate change. So how, like, is that something that you've been involved in before, or is it just something that you're kind of looking to get involved in raising awareness for?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter there. So, I mean, I've been conscious of it in the past, but it's only from going out into the great outdoors that you sort of realise that how beautiful a place it is.
Mm.
And if I can do my part in trying to protect it, then I will do. And a trip of this magnitude, I think you almost owe it to raise money or raise awareness for a certain cause. So, and I sort of work best when I fully embody something.
Yeah.
So if it comes to the point where it's like, right, you know, I want to become more environmentally aware, so therefore I'm going to do a trip and I'm going to raise awareness because that forces me to learn about it.
Yeah.
It forces me to preach it, but then in doing that, I have to practice it.
Yeah.
Similar to the bike ride, we cycled. So it was along with a friend, George Cullen. So he and I coined the Hairy Handlebars because we were raising money for Movember, which is a men's health charity, along with the Ian Williams Foundation, which is a charity which focuses on alleviating cardiac issues in young sportsmen. So we basically decided that we wanted to do it for this reason, and then, you know, we sort of embodied it and we learnt about it, and then through that it was like this journey of sort of discovery there as well, which I suppose is similar to the Africa walk.
Yeah, no, I was going through your Instagram today and I was looking at some of the places you hit on the cycle. So that was from London
to Tokyo. Yeah.
And how did that come about? Like
in the pub.
The pub.
In the pub.
Do you know what we should do? We should cycle to Tokyo.
Yeah. That's literally it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, so basically the idea came about that my best mate and I sort of shot this idea out, and we were saying, right, we'll cycle, we'll go on a big cycle ride.
Yeah.
His music kicked off, he decided that he wanted to focus on that, which is fair, sort of.
Yeah.
Left to do it on my own, which I was ready for. And then his brother and I were actually at the pub
okay.
on one night over a few pints, and he just sort of said, well, I'm in.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
And then it sort of kicked off from there. So what was an idea? You know, once we woke up in the morning, sore heads, we were like, we're going to cycle.
Yeah,
we're going to go cycle. And then from there, it just grew arms and legs, basically. And we decided to then bring in a charity and raise some money for them, which we ended up raising £37,000. For November Foundation.
That's great.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, really, really good. So like great support from everybody there. It was awesome. Really, really awesome.
What was that route then when you were, because that's a long side, like what?
Yeah.
I couldn't put a figure on it. Yeah, I know it's in your Instagram, but 14,000?
Yeah, as well. So 14,500.
Yeah.
And so we passed through Europe, down towards Turkey, and then we crossed over to Asia. And then from there it was Turkey, Georgia, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan.
Serious memories in all those places,
And then into China, the width of China, which took us 2 months. So that was quite challenging.
So how long did that whole cycle take?
So it was 6 months, pretty much to the day. Yeah. So I think it was 6 months in the day, which was great, but you know, an incredible experience and something that definitely sort of leaves you wanting a bit more. So that's part of the reason why I sort of chose that. I wanted to sort of step it up a level in a way.
Yeah,
you know, push that challenge out a little bit further. And
And do you think that what difference do you think the doing it in a pair and doing it solo? Do you think that'll be a big shift change?
Yeah, it will massively. You know, you've not got someone to talk to so much, which is obviously like a huge factor. So there comes like the isolation and me sort of being on my own a lot, which would be interesting. But you know, then you also don't have someone to share the experience with. So George and I, we've always got that. Like we did that trip together. So you know, for years to come, we've always got those stories that we can share, and we've got those experiences that we went through together. But yeah, I mean, Africa, in terms of like a danger aspect, you know, if you're on your own, you do look a little bit more vulnerable, but then that vulnerability can also work in your favor. So if a family or some locals sort of see you on your own, you know, they're more likely to sort of offer their hand. I definitely feel like they can sense your vulnerability far more if you're on your own. And it forces you to talk to people more, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, you don't just sort of sit to yourselves, and you know, when you don't feel like talking to anybody else, and you can sort of lock yourselves away. But
absolutely,
when I'm on my own, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to have to force myself to be a bit more sociable, which is, you know, good stuff.
And is there a particular charity that you're doing this for, this Africa one?
Yes, so it's called One Tree Planted.
One Tree Planted,
that's all right. So it's a reforestation charity. Okay. It's an American NGO, and they basically have some reforestation projects around the world. And the money that I'm raising will be injected into their projects in Africa. So yeah, they've got projects that run from Ethiopia sort of downwards.
Right, where you'll be.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, I've been in comms with them, and we're sort of working together here. And I'll visit some of the projects as I go down and do some stuff with them, which would be awesome.
Cool.
So yeah, it's really, really exciting stuff
there. And have you a goal that you'd like to hit, or is it just whatever you can?
Yeah, so I've set my goal relatively small
at
the moment, in the hope that I can sort of pick it up
as
time goes on. But I'm basically trying to raise £1 for every kilometre that I walk. So that's 12,000 kilometres, £12,000. And the charity themselves, what they do is pretty much £1 plants a tree. So £12,000, 12,000 trees.
That's
a sort of good way of doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And so where does the, like, your travel bug or your adventure bug, where does this stem from? Like, were you, when you were in school, was that something that you, we always kind of looking to see things, or?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So, I mean, when I was younger, it was always, you know, you're playing out in the woods. We had a little area just outside the back of my house called the field, basically, that me and a neighbour would always play in. Like, you know, you'd make dens and sort of push the boat out a bit further and make some fires and whatnot. So I suppose it definitely started then. Then I went through school, played lots of rugby, and then towards the end of school, I basically, from the age of 14, I wanted to be in the Royal Marine Commandos. So once I left school, took a sort of involuntary year out, and then joined the Royal Marines. And then for the 5 years that I spent in there, sorry, four and a half years I spent there, that sort of enables you to grow that a little bit.
Yeah,
you learn a bit more about how to survive,
how
to operate in the middle of nowhere, sort of challenges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, and then it developed there, and then, you know, I sort of pushed it out with bike ride, and then, so my list of possible adventures.
I'm sure that being in the Marines, you probably, were you in some mad places when you were?
I mean, no, so I joined in 2014. Okay. So we pulled out of Afghanistan in 2012.
Yeah.
So I sort of joined at a period when it was, you know, relatively
quiet.
So I got on some, you know, really, really cool like training exercises and whatnot. Played lots of rugby there, which is great. But yeah, sort of knocked it on the head towards the end just because I sort of felt like I wanted something new, something different. Which this sort of stuff is giving me.
Yeah. And so before your cycle, were there other kind of small things that kind of led you to want to, you know, do the big ones, or was it just kind of like going straight into where else have you been, what else have you done before the cycle?
I've traveled lots.
I've
spent a lot of time in Indonesia, time in sort of America, time around Europe, Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, those sorts of places. So I suppose you sort of start to develop a travel bug,
everybody does.
But I think from there, then I decided that actually I want to sort of put challenge with travel together. So that's why these expeditions, you know, I probably became inspired to do these from there. And, that was all.
The cycle I think was like crazy, but like 2 years of just walking in Africa, I just like it mind-boggling to think will you record or will you do things to like keep up to date as you're going? Or
I will, yeah. So I've got my Instagram, which people can follow.
Yeah.
So it's like @adventure_cookie.
Yeah, I'll make sure we have that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. And then as well as that, I've got a website which is due to launch just before I leave, which is adventurecookie.co.uk, and the people can follow the journey there. But I hope to blog as much as possible.
Yeah.
Sort of vlog or do Insta stories as and when I feel like it.
Yeah.
Put some videos and photos up.
Definitely.
And then on the website itself, I'm going to have a sort of big map where you can track exactly where I am at all times.
Yeah.
So, for those that are interested,
more
for my family to as reassurance.
Yeah. Make sure you're still taken.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, people can follow by those means.
Yeah. I'm sure once you get past your first couple of things, it'll grow a lot more when they're like, he's a year in.
Yeah.
I just think that's mad that you'll be like this time next year. You could be just walking through the middle of Kenya, maybe.
Hopefully, a bit further.
Yeah, a bit further. Yeah, I was like, it's probably not right.
Yeah.
Right. So I have a couple of kind of quick thinkers, right?
Yeah.
So, what is a weird food combination that you really enjoy?
Oh, chocolate and cheese and onion crisps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Killer.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
We have any access to that on your...
I mean, probably not. Hopefully one or the other. But if I ever do find them together, then yes, I will. But
you'll need to get some sort of like point where you get a care package flown in. Yeah. Lots of chocolate, lots of crisps.
God, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Probably going to be melted by the time it gets there.
Yeah.
But doesn't matter.
What temperature-wise will you be looking at most of... I know, obviously, it's a long stint, so it'll change. But for the majority, I assume it's hot.
It is, yeah. So I think it will be hot. So I basically, in order to try and avoid the rainy season, as I get to Ethiopia and Kenya, I've got to walk through the Sahara basically, whilst it's dry season. So it's going to be temperatures up to 50 degrees on some days, and then you know, but I'd rather that than get to where it's wet season, the mosquitoes are out in force.
Yeah.
Sort of wreaking havoc. So
you probably wear one of those things, you know, the little keep the sun off the head. What are they called?
Hat.
No, do you not think it's the red that comes down? I don't know. What is it called? Yeah, they always wear them in the desert to like keep the shade off their neck.
Oh yeah. I can't remember the name, but
you should get one of them. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
What does it mean to live a good life?
Oh God, that's a big one. Drop that one. to lead a good life, I think you've got to do things that genuinely sort of make you happy, and you know, finding joy in things, like continue to do those, be of service to people, help people as and when you can. I think those two are probably like my biggest things in trying to lead a good life, and I think they're the two main things.
They're good staples.
What
incredibly common thing have you never done?
Common thing that I've never done. Oh, it's got to be like watch a TV program that everyone talks about. Love Island.
I've
never been one for that. No. But everyone talks about it. I know so much about these people, and I'm, you know, I just sort of nod away and.
I get into it during the summer, but like I now that they're doing one in the winter as well, I'm like.
Oh, they do one in the winter as well.
They just started one just there. It's in South Africa.
God.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Maybe I'll walk there.
Just show up and be like, well. Okay. What do you wish that someone had taught you a long time ago?
Not to worry what other people think.
Yeah.
I feel like this is only something that I'm sort of have been facing the past few years. And I mean, you do get told it when you're growing up, but you don't really listen to it, do you?
Yeah.
And I think that's the main thing. Like, you know, bugger everyone else.
Yeah.
You do you. Like, and that's, I think that's so important. Yeah. So many people don't today, and I'm not saying that I think like that all the time, because obviously we do. You know, we worry about our identity, but I think so many people struggle with that, like worrying about what other people think of them.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. Like, you do you, and that's it.
I think it becomes a little bit easier when you get older to kind of...
You're very right.
And you're more, you know, comfortable in yourself, and you've... You know, I suppose when you're in those years when you're in school and, you know, you have all the other eyes around, it's a lot harder to say, you know what, actually, I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I think when you get, you know, to, you know, 20s, 30s, you're like, well... I may as well do what I want, because, you know,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. What three events made the biggest impact on who you are today?
So I think my biggest impacts. The cycle ride has got to be pretty pivotal.
Yeah.
My career in the military and my mother falling ill. When I was 19 years old, 18 years old, she fell out, but then passed away when I was 21, going through training for the Marines. That was pretty big.
Yeah.
But you know, for all, you know, how sad it was for us as a family, and to lose her, I learned so much through that experience, which I sort of take with me always, and that's always lessons that I would have learned. So those three things, I think, were probably the biggest.
And then we spoke beforehand about your life hack. Have you mustered up a life hack?
This life hack. Okay, so let's make it something sort of adventure-y.
Yeah.
Always carry cable ties.
Okay.
If you're out and about on adventures.
Either an adventure or a serial killer, one of those.
One of those two. But I mean, you can fix pretty much everything with that. So, you know, if you strap back brakes on your bag, you can fix it. You know, on the bike expedition, we'd fix most things with cable ties.
Really?
Pretty much hang things together. Hold things together, and then you get it to someone who knows what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
And they'll fix it up good and proper.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be my life hack.
Okay.
Went out on adventures, cable ties.
Not
in a weird way, but
yeah. Okay, so your trivia then. So basically there's 10 questions. Now,
I'm terrified.
Sean McNulty actually got the high score the last time.
He
got
seven.
Seven. But before that, the high score was 5, and only 2 had hit that. But then I also had people say that the questions that Sean got were a little bit easier. But you know, it's whatever comes out of the So look, we'll see. Okay, so your first one is, who played the lead role in the new film The Joker?
I've not seen that.
Have you not?
No, I haven't.
Great film.
I'm a great film person.
Really.
Who would I cast as the Joker?
Is
that Matt? No, it's the guy from, is it Rock and Roller who plays the drug in Rock and Roller?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'd
see right, okay.
It's
pass.
Joaquin Phoenix. Is that how you say his first name?
I was gonna say that.
Joaquin. I don't know. Okay, so in August, whose Divide tour became the most attended and highest grossing tour after 893 days on the road.
It's got to be Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Yeah, Divide. Yeah,
Divide, spot on. Yeah. But yeah, he's. I assume he'll go off the map for another while, is it?
He's a great man, isn't he?
Yeah, he does. Supposedly, when he goes off the map, he only has like five people in his contacts. I don't know how true that is now.
Really?
Like, he just doesn't use social media, doesn't use anything like that, and he's got like five people.
I think you need it though.
Yeah,
the line like that much. That's supposed to be so stressful.
Yeah, 100%.
I think everyone dreams for it, wants it, but in reality, I think that would be pretty shit.
I think the negative aspects of it would just like no one would ever even consider them.
No,
until
I agree.
They're just sitting on your doorstep. Yeah. Okay, so that's one. Who caused a major shock when he defeated Anthony Joshua in June?
It was the guy that he beat recently, wasn't that Mexican guy?
Yeah.
Kind of fat.
Mm.
I can't remember his name.
Do you want to have a stab? Because you're so close.
I can throw any name out. Wait, what's the most common name ever used? Isn't it like Muhammad Lee?
Yeah, Muhammad. It's Andy Ruiz. Okay, so where was the 2019 Eurovision Song Contest held? What city?
Munich.
Tel Aviv.
The European Song Contest.
Yeah. I thought, that's Israel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought was a bit strange as well. Which male animal is known as a Tom or a Jake?
A cat.
A turkey.
A turkey?
Yeah.
Ah,
there you have it.
God, where do you find these questions?
This is what I mean. Like, they just come out of nowhere, and sometimes they come out, and you're like, oh, fair, and then others are like, what?
Yeah.
Okay, so where in the world would you find a vehicle with the letter V in its registration code?
Venezuela.
No, I'll give you a clue. It's European.
It's European.
Yeah.
Okay. Germany.
Vatican City.
Huh?
Vatican City.
Oh yeah. Oh, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually the smallest country in Europe, or second smallest country in Europe.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I guess isn't it the smallest country in the world?
Could be. I think there could be another small one, but maybe it's a little bit bigger. Not Luxembourg, I don't know. My geography isn't that great. I wasn't good at geography in school.
I only know the places that I sort of go to.
And eventually you just have to go everywhere and then just know everything, you know?
Yeah, that'll be the dream.
Which metal has the chemical symbol PB?
Not a clue. Oh, pewter?
Lead. That was a real curveball.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really not going great. Okay, how many cards are there in Cluedo?
In Cluedo? I've never played that.
No, I've
45.
21.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, nice one.
Nice. Take the 0.5. How many moons does the planet Venus have?
7.
None. These are really hard questions. So,
oh, yeah. Throw me under the bus, yeah.
Okay, right. Last one. What is the capital of the United Arab Emirates?
It is. Unsure.
We may as well name one of them. Think of anywhere in the UAE.
Dubai.
The other one.
The name's on the tip of my tongue here.
It's two words.
Saudi Arabia. No, that's not in the UAE.
Country.
Absolutely. Oh God. No, I'm under pressure now. I'm just saying random stuff, and I'm gonna stop where I'm at.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
So look, they were hard. I'd say they were up there with some of the hardest set of questions.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't be too. Too annoyed that you only got one, but
that's okay.
I'm sure you'll have, well, the both of the McNulty's will have a bragging rights over you now.
I think they will,
yeah.
That's really upsetting.
Yeah. Well, look, it's only, well, who's walking the length of Africa, do you know what I mean?
Like,
yeah. So that's the bulk of that, but so before I let you go, so Your start date is
March 31st. Yeah,
in Cairo. And then your end. So when's the next time that you're going to resurface? And
oh God, a few years from then.
Yeah.
From then, yeah. So yeah, I'm basically aiming for, very optimistically, a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah.
And then anywhere up to 2.5, 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really want the time pressure of,
yeah,
you know, I want to be as free to do sort of what I want and,
yeah,
sort of enjoy the journey instead of sort of have to hit a certain distance every day.
And end up starting to roll, yeah, or something. Yeah. You know. One thing I forgot to ask you, where do you stay? Were you, like, every night, would you just look for...
Yeah. No, so I've got my brother, basically, he's got a house and he just lets me get in the spare room once, okay, I'm back. So, yeah, beforehand I was obviously in the military, so
yeah,
I had accommodation there. And then now I'm back, it's just, okay, sort of sofa surfing, and then he's been kind enough to say, right, get in here for a few months until you're back.
Yeah, and then you're off to travel again.
Yeah.
And then, so when you're away then, every night when you're away, would you just have somewhere, like, in your head that you'll stay, or would you just rock up and be like, anywhere to stay in this town?
Yeah, I've got tent. So tent. Doing it, yeah, so it's completely...
Sleeping in a tent in Africa is a bit piping.
Yeah, set apart, but there's people that cycle the route.
Yeah.
There's people that have gone through it, but yeah, I mean, if you've got a tent, you can pretty much stay anywhere, providing that you conceal yourself well.
Yeah. Is it a common travel route?
So Cairo to Cape Town is a common travel route for overland trips. So people will drive it, people will cycle it. There's only a handful of people that have ever walked it, the last of which is this guy, Mario Rigby, who's been kind enough to give me some advice as to where he went. He went a slightly different route to the route that I'd like to take. So he's done it, and then, yeah, there's only, I think, 5 people that have ever walked it.
And him, did he have a specific reason why he did it, or was it...
So I think he did it for, I don't know the real reason, I think with every person, like, you know, if anyone's asked, why are you doing that, like, you'll never get the right answer, you'll never get the real answer.
Yeah, but the full answer.
Yeah, but I think he basically did it because he wanted to change the way in which, sort of, people view the outdoors community. So he wanted to try and inspire people, different sorts of people, to sort of jump on and take part in adventures and the great outdoors, basically.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. He's been really, really sort of kind with his advice and sort of told me his story. So it's pretty cool.
So is there, what else has to be done before you go now? Is there...
So I'm pretty much there.
Pretty much
good to go. Now everything else is, I've got the fundamentals. So visas, I've got all my permissions to go to the countries. I've got all my kit, all my sponsors on board. I've got, a really cool team of people that are going to stay here as, like, an expedition team, media team and whatnot, and help me out from here. But yeah, now it's just a case of, like, getting excited for the countries. Like, research the countries. Like, what are the places I'm going to want to go to?
Yeah.
You know, read about them as much as possible and sort of go there. And, you know, now the stress of organising this and planning it is starting to simmer down.
The excitement can now build up.
I'm going to let myself get excited, which is cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there any things that you could do while you're walking that'd have your pastime?
Whistle, sing.
Yeah, whistle, sing. Yeah. Can you read and walk? Probably not.
No. Audiobooks.
Audiobooks.
Oh, they're great. Lose yourself in something.
Have you watched an audiobook that you recently read that you were...
Harry Potter's.
Yeah.
So I did, 1-7.
Class.
Oh, it was honestly, like...
How many hours is one of them? I don't know.
I think the longest one is The Order of the Phoenix, and that's about... do I want to say, near 30 hours? Which is great, because then you just give yourself, an hour and a half or 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
You look forward to it. It's like a treat.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, when you really can't be bothered,
it's
like, cool, I'm going to listen to Harry Potter.
Class.
So you just lose yourself in that,
and then
all
of
a sudden you're like,
God,
time machine.
Absolutely. I'm very excited for you. I hope that maybe at some stage we'll maybe be in contact when you're down there and we can do like an update.
That'd be awesome.
And then as well, we'll definitely have to do this again when you're back, and you can tell me all about what happened, and I'm sure you'll have 101 stories for me. So, other than that, I want to wish you the best on your travels, and you know what you're doing is fantastic, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to donate to it.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyone that does want to donate, basically, it's all on my Instagram, as I mentioned, so it's adventure_cookie. I'll have the link there as always. And then on my website, which is adventurecookie.co.uk, people can click on there, and then there's links to the charity there as well. So, awesome.
I'm gonna put all that into the blurb, so anyone who watches will have access to that. They've no excuse.
Perfect. Yeah. Raise some money.
Okay. Right. Well, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
Which of the best?
Thanks very much.
Until next time. Bam, bam, bam.